Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Well, we do have our next guest, Patience Ncube, who is joining us on the line. Mom Ncube, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Have you had a good day?
I've had a good day. God has been good.
Lovely. I'm glad, man. I'm glad to hear such a feedback. And your weekend was fantastic?
Oh, yes. I had a great Sabbath.
Lovely.
I'm always looking forward to the Sabbath.
So, oh, yeah. Likewise, man. Likewise. In fact, I'm already looking forward to the next Sabbath, if I can tell you that. yeah. I'm telling you, man. Yeah. I just wish it could be just Sabbath all the time. Just Sabbath all the time. But hey, heaven is coming. Heaven is coming for such things. I hope you're coming, eh? Are you coming?
I have to. I will.
just got to make sure, man, that you're planning to be there, eh?
It's part of the plan. It's the main goal.
It's the main goal. Thing I'm visiting. Keeping the main thing, eh?
Yes.
Now, we're talking about bridging the chasm of sin and death. That's a VOP lesson, by the way. And to those who are joining us, can you imagine the devastation in heaven the day Adam and Eve fell into sin? Yeah, God's heart was broken by the separation created by humanity's sin. But what does that mean for us today? Is God simply looking sympathetically at us from across the gap created by our sin, wishing things could have been different? Well, Patience is here to tell us all about it. Now, Patience, what action did God take to bridge the gap created by our own sin?
Okay, maybe let's just start by explaining the heartache that God felt when all of this thing went down. You know, you can imagine when you are in a relationship with someone and you guys are in love. You know, everything is okay, everything is good. And all of a sudden, they decide to turn their back on you. You can imagine what God felt. And, you know, most people, when we talk about this, we think about the pain that Adam felt. We think about the loneliness that Adam and Eve felt, the loneliness that came about sin, right? That separation. And oftentimes, we look at it from our human perspective, you know, the fact that Adam and Eve were kicked out of their garden. And then we don't actually think about what that did to God. You know, think about how God had to weigh humanity at the end of the day, how the Godhead had to be separated. Think about, you know, the pain that God literally felt, thinking that, you know, these are my people, you know, they obey me, and all of a sudden they choose to listen to the voice of the devil. And I just think about the pain that God felt, you know, and for him at that moment and in that day when they ate the fruit, He foresaw what would happen. You know, God saw how we are going to be killing each other today. He saw how little children were going to be raped. He saw how the world was going to be terrible. You know, the war, the poverty. He saw all of that coming in that one day, and he felt that pain and his heart ached. And I think what pains me the most about this is how we blame him for all of this, right? How we blame God for the pain that we go through, the death that happens. And yet we don't realize that it was humanity that caused this. And despite the fact that we caused this, and God had every right to just kill everybody. He had a right to destroy Earth. He had a right to create new human beings. But because he loves us so much, he made a plan, right? He made a plan that Jesus would come and die for us so that we can be reconciled back to him. And that's why when you read John 3, verse 16, he says that for God so loved the world. That's the only reason why he initiated that plan. He loved us so much that he would actually come and die for us. And that's what Christ has done to bridge that gap, because sin has separated us. When you read from Isaiah 59, verse 2, it tells us that our sins have separated us from our God. You know, our sins have hidden his face. And so Christ then comes into the picture and he says, you know what, I want to bridge that gap so that we don't have to die for our sins. We don't have to pay, because Christ has come and he has paid the price for us. And it's so painful when I think about it, you know, when I think about the fact that for us to actually believe that God loves us, Christ literally had to die for us to believe. He had to come down, live a poor life. He had to be persecuted by the Pharisees back in the day. He had to live a poor life. He had to walk with us. And this is God himself. And he literally needed to go to the cross so that we can believe, so that we can be saved, right? It says that for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him. Mm-hmm. So for us to believe that God actually loves us, he needed to come and die. And not only did he die, he resurrected just so to make it possible for us to be forgiven, so that we can be reconciled back to the Father. So it was a great price that needed to be paid. You know, mm-hmm. no human being could come and do this for us. It is God himself. And I mean, he had a lot of alternatives. He could have just destroyed Earth, created new human beings, created robots, but his love was so much for us. In as much as his heart ached, he still decided, you know what, I'm going to die for this one. And this is what Christ has done for us. He is eager to satisfy our longings. He's eager to heal our emotional wounds. He's eager to do everything for us. And his sympathy is not like our sympathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you look at someone like, ah, shame, you know, you're suffering, ah, you're going through something, I'm going to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Christ did not sit in heaven and he was like, oh, this is bad, you know, but he came and he was born. So his kind of sympathy was moved by action. And you see this principle throughout the Bible where Jesus was walking in earth. When you read your Bible, it will tell you that, and he saw that they were hungry and he showed compassion, right? Mm-hmm. And his compassion was moved by action, whereby he would then multiply food. He would look at someone, he would sympathize with them, and then there's action that comes with that sympathy. And that's what Christ has done. He does not only feel for us, but his feelings also come with action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, why did he have to go about it that particular way? I mean, was there no other way to reconcile us to him?
So when you read the book of Romans, it says that for the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the law, when you sin, death must happen, right? And because we know that God doesn't change and his word doesn't change. And so death needed to happen. And so that was the only way, right, to fulfill the law and also save us. Because remember, everything that God does, it comes from a point of love. Mm-hmm. And remember the accusations of the devil when he's in heaven, Lucifer. He says, this guy, he's a tyrant. This guy is selfish. He cannot love. So if God would have destroyed humanity just to fulfill the law or allow them to die, then the accusations of the devil would have been true. And so whatever he did, this idea that he came up with, it was an idea that would save humanity, right? And also because he loved us so much. So it was like a win-win solution. Mm-hmm. Also to maintain his character, that he's a loving God, he's a selfless God. So that was the only way, basically. Like I said, he could have thought of other alternatives, like just killing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But then the picture that the angels were going to have regarding who God is, uh-huh. it was going to prove the accusations of the devil that, oh, if you don't obey this person, he's just going to kill you. This is what he's just going to do. So remember, he's loving, he's merciful, and he's also just. So by dying at the cross, we see justice and we also see love and we also see mercy right there. Mm-hmm. Because justice says somebody must die for sin and Christ dies. And mercy says we don't have to die for ourselves because Christ has died for us. So right there, we see mercy and justice merging and becoming one thing where Christ becomes our everything and just revealing the character of God.
Yeah. Now, does that action reconcile us even to this day? I mean, this is now 2,000 years later.
Absolutely, it does.
Even so long
after? There's
a
song that says, his blood shall never lose its power. Like, the blood will never lose power, right? Even today, when we go to Christ and we ask for forgiveness, you know, the verse that we read, John 3, verse 16, it says, whosoever believes. So it's a matter of you believing, you know. When Christ died, he was dying for the very firstborn of earth, up until the last one that's going to be born just before he comes. So Christ had us in mind He knew the sins that we are going to be committing in 2025. He knew what I was going to be thinking. He knew what I was going to be doing, and he died for that. And the only thing that I have to do is believe. And trust me, the only reason why we won't make it to heaven is because we don't believe. We don't believe that his blood has power. Mm-hmm. We don't believe that he's able to forgive us. And that's the only reason why we're going to be lost, because Christ has done it all. He has paid the price. We just don't want to believe.
We refuse to believe, and that's unfortunate, man. That's truly unfortunate, patience. Now, is there something that we are to do to actually make that reconciliation right? Is it about just believing?
Yeah, I'd say it's about believing, right? Mm. But remember, okay, so we are saved by faith, right? We are saved by believing that Christ has done it all. But then James would also say, faith without works is vanity. It's basically nothing. So when we believe in Christ, then there are obligations, right? In John 15, he says that you must abide in me and I will abide in you. Then what it means to abide in Christ, it's also what keeping his commandments, as you would read in the book. I think it's John 15, verse 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And John 14, verse 15 will also say, you are my friends if you keep my commandments, right? Mm-hmm. So we are required to believe. That's why we are saved. We are saved by believing, by having faith that we are saved. Mm-hmm. However, you don't just believe by your mouth and say, yeah, I believe, but your actions are not showing that you are believing. So your actions have to show that you believe, right? Mm. So you walk the walk and you also talk the talk. So you don't just talk and then you are taking another direction. And that's why James would say that faith without works, literally, that's not acceptable. Mm. So that means when we have believed, when we believe that we are saved by this belief, we are saved by faith, then there must something that must show, right? And hence the Bible says you will know them by their fruits. So our fruits, whatever that we are producing, our lifestyles, will then show that we really do believe in Jesus Christ. So how we live, how we interact with other people, how we talk, how we dress, and all of those things, they reveal whether we believe or we don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, little I want you to please just give us your concluding remarks, maybe certain things that you wish to touch on with regards to this particular discussion we've had.
Oh, yes. One of the things that touched my heart as I was going through this lesson is how God's heart was, like how God's heart ached when all of this happened. When Adam and Eve turned their backs on him, you know, his heart was just so painful. And I just thought about how we break his heart on a daily basis, you know, when we sin, when we refuse to believe, when we refuse to accept the gift that God has given us. You know, Christ has died for us so that we may have life. He says in John 10, verse 10, I have come, you know, to give you life and life in abundance. And we refuse this life. We refuse by wanting to stay in sin, wanting to do what is evil, wanting to rebel. And every day, you know, we break his heart. But despite the fact that we break his heart, he is so loving. Every time he will send someone, you know, it could be through this conversation that we are having where God is speaking to someone. It could be through a devotion. It could be through a book. It could be through a person where God is really just trying to reach out and say, you know what, I love you and I want you to be reconciled. I want to forgive you. So that really just touched my heart. And I just want to say that remember every time you turn your back away from God, every time you sin, every time you do that which you're not supposed to do, you're breaking his heart. But remember that he also loves you. In as much as you've broken his heart all day today, he's still saying, come. You know, he says, though your sins are red as scarlet, I'll make them to be as white as snow. He says, come, let us reason together.
Yeah.
He says, if you confess your sins, you know what, I'm going to forgive you. So that's just that's the hope that I have, you know, that as long as we go to him, we go back to him, he is able to forgive us, and he does not only just forgive us, he reconciles us back to the Father. And when that has been done, then we need to walk according to his ways.
Man, it's a powerful lesson, man, patience. I think we're going to be meeting with you tomorrow with another discussion. Thank you so much for coming through this afternoon.
Thank you so much. Do have a good day.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.